Off the ball. Rugby.
What Jory Barrett has brought to the club, the performances he's had, the punch that he gives, is another dimension on what Robbie's game is. That's the reality.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Breakfast Bite. Giving you a flavour of Ireland's sports breakfast show.
Tommy Rooney, good morning to you. What a weekend.
Morning, Ger. Morning, Colm. Yeah, a serious weekend of Gaelic games.
I don't know how to put any structure on this, Tommy, because there's too many things that we need to talk about. Where do you want to start?
Hey, Ger, you call the shots, man. You go wherever you want to go. I suppose we have to go back to Sunday's pretty epic occasion in Croke Park. We start there?
Yeah, heartbreaking for Meath. We've had the Louth perspective early on in the show. What's the Meath perspective?
Yeah, what was the loud perspective? Sorry, I'm only up out of the cot.
We played the clip of you sticking the mic on Sam Mulroy, and we heard the two lads very happy and looking forward to celebrations, you know?
Good stuff. I was wondering where I need them up after the homecoming last night. No,
I bet you Sam Mulroy's got a gym session done.
Yeah, he's ready to go.
100%, I guarantee you that. But I'd say the likes of Niall McDonald and Dermot Campbell are enjoying themselves, as they should be. Some of the photos of the celebrations afterwards, lads, I think Sportsfile and Info did an incredible job this weekend. We stuck a few of them up in the football pod from even Saturday night in Clonus. Ramsey Cardy got in the midst of that brawl. And yesterday, I know James Crombie and the Sportsfile lads got some brilliant shots of the loud celebrations. Dermot Campbell throwing the Delaney Cup over the line at the Davin stand end was a... It didn't dawn on me for a while what he was doing. I copped it after a bit. That was pretty funny. But there's a shot of Niall McDonald celebrating into the crowd in the hill like that. And Donal Keoghan and Matthew Costello in agony behind them. Conor Grimes, I believe, just lying on the ground. He must be in tears. And the crowd around them, like, it was just... Conor Grimes said it was like an All-Ireland final yesterday. And I had made the point during the week that this is the beauty of this Leinster final, is that nothing else matters for these two sides in 2025. It just didn't. It was the only thing there. And like, the atmosphere was boisterous. It was raucous. It was expectant. But there was a nervousness as well. And obviously, it's not like an All-Ireland, like Cork and Clare last year in the All-Ireland final, where there wasn't a seat in the house. It's not that. But it's the rung just beneath it. Like, it's more than what you get in an All-Ireland semi-final, I think, yesterday. Even if there were similar numbers there. Because of what was on the line and because of the rivalry and the crack that can be had between both counties. And, I'll be honest, I'll get to perhaps the disappointment as a Meath fan. Now, I was neutral and professional when I was in Croker yesterday, apart for two occasions. But, you know, looking at the game coldly, which is what I tried to do as I was doing my job. But before the game, the songs, the colour, I haven't experienced that as a Meath person in so long. Like, the amount of traipses up the Croke Park where you knew you were going to get a scutcherin, or you convince yourself, or you'd go on air and make a show of yourself trying to tell the nation that Meath had a chance or a hope, and they might do for 40 minutes and things just wouldn't work. I think Meath performed within themselves yesterday, but I also think they illustrated the potential that's within that camp. Like, they kicked 118, they got ahead multiple times in that match, but I think they were outfoxed. And what came home to roost was the wiliness of that loud side. And it's like, I was being accused of Yerraism on the football pod all week. I could not understand how Meath were favourites by the bookies. Now,
By throwing in fairness, it had they were both the same.
Yeah, they pretty much were, like, but I think Meath on so many metrics going into the game were up. They were up on two pointers, they were up on scores, they were up on possessions won in midfield. But I think we just saw what Loud, their backroom team, their players, what they were able to produce on today. And it was impressive, because I don't think they were playing to their very best either. But Jesus, they had some big moments.
All right, Queenie is with us. Good morning, Tiquini. How are you?
Morning, Gerard. How are you?
When Peter Romani smashes the ball down the ground, it was like a bit angry. He was like, there was a lot in that, wasn't there?
Yeah, it's a nice moment, I think, a bit of emotion there. I think it was the loudest cheer, was it, of the night for him. Very important result, obviously. They needed to win that game. It was kind of a crazy first half, wasn't it?
It was a wild game. So maybe people were flicking between everything else that was going on. Ulster gave as good as they got and just took the lead. And deep in their own 22, they have an opportunity to clear. And Tadhg Byrne comes out of nowhere with a giant meaty paw and wins a block down, which goes over the line. They score. And from that point forward, it's one-way traffic from Munster's perspective. They're the best team in it by a mile. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think so. I think Munster probably would have been frustrated with one or two exits that allowed, particularly for the Postlewaite try, mistake there, turnover in their own, just around their own 22. So it wasn't a perfect, it was a nervy first half.
Very
and
nervy.
It was a good Ulster side, and they've shown they're dangerous in attack. For Richie Murphy, I think it's probably frustrating that he's had a lot of injuries, a very unsettled team, lots of players missing throughout the season, and I think a really disappointing end for them to lose 10 games. It's a pity, you know, Connacht and Ulster not in the playoffs. I think Munster are going to be under pressure Friday night. Scarlets beating, getting a bonus point win in South Africa against the Lions really kind of puts the cat among the pigeons there and makes it difficult, meaning that, you know, a draw or, you know, 2 points for Munster still may not be enough. They have to win the game, I think. Cardiff and Edinburgh in 9th and 10th, they're both still in the mix as well. So, yeah, it's going right down to the wire. Munster wouldn't have wanted this, but and they're going to play against a side that hammered Glasgow at the weekend. You know, they've some brilliant players. Benetton, vast majority are internationals. Jacob Omanga, I think, at 10. He's not, but they have a superb side and they're going to be a very dangerous proposition. So, yeah, it was the last game in Thomond Park for Peter O'Mahony, Conor Murray and Stephen Archer was brought that bit of emotion. And I think Munster won't care where they're going if they make the playoffs, whether it's South Africa. Most likely it could be, you know, if they win, it'll probably push them up to, you know, sixth, maybe seventh, which would mean they'd be possibly, it depends, they'd be probably, if they were going to be going away, it'd be hoping maybe that Glasgow, the top four, secured. But it was a nice moment for Peter. Obviously, he's had a long, distinguished career, and he's very popular, captain for a number of years there. He's had a wonderful career with Ireland, you know, captain the Lions in 2017. It's
not over yet. It was a few weeks ago. Can I ask you about the line-out, right? What the hell is going on?
Same problems again, wasn't it?
They try the short stuff. They try the throwing at the very back. They try throwing to the front. It's a bit of a mess no matter what they're doing. So what's the consistent factor that's causing problems?
I've spoken about this a few times. The percentages are very low. I think it was 73% win rate. It was down to 60s against Bordeaux, but it's way too low, and it's a real problem. And when you think you win 38-20 and you lose, I think it was 5-6 lineouts again, a couple of poor deliveries even in the ones they won, there's very little confidence there at all. So confidence is a problem. And if you're in the opposition at any stage in the last couple of months playing against Munster, you're going after that line out. It's a culmination of a lot of things, I think. Inaccurate throwing, inaccurate lifting, timing, where the ball has been called to, the ability to look at the opposition and read what kind of defensive system they have, possibly the setup. It'd be too difficult for me to say that I would bring in a different line-out. I think back to the line-outs when I played, there was a couple of, you know, you always hear and every team will have their bankers, their kind of rock solid setup. And that doesn't mean, you know, you can have seven man is a full line out.
Yeah.
But you can have different formations in that. The old traditional one was, you know, prop, second row, back row. So you kind of had five bunched at the front and then a gap between the two back rows at the tail. You can, loads of different formations change and can be changed to keep seven players in the line out. But
to listen to this morning's Off The Ball Breakfast in full, become a member at offtheball.com/join now.